And good morning, everyone. After singing that song about, O little town of Bethlehem, does anybody have any idea why Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Any thoughts? You know what the name Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. I didn't know that until Cliff texted me this morning and shared that with me. And also remember the lamb that was brought into the temple for sacrifice that represented Jesus Christ? They wrapped that lamb in swaddling clothes. Isn't that interesting? A lot of things you don't know when you don't know them, you know? Anyway, with Christmas just a couple of days away, I think it's appropriate that we learn how to give the best possible gift to Jesus, because he wants us to know how to give to each other, because the two great commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. And then the second is likened unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can learn an awful lot from Jesus' mother. We're going to read her song. She wrote a song that we're going to go through today so that we can learn how we can love God more and how we can love one another the way God wants us to, so that we can have, as you see here, God's perspective. Because the divine gaze is talking about God's perspective. Because God has a perspective. He has a spiritual message behind everything in the Bible. And unless you have that divine gaze or that insight of the Holy Spirit, you don't know what's going on. And that's why it's important to repent, be baptized. Every one of you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that's what gives us the spiritual gaze, the spiritual perspective that God has, so that we can begin to fulfill his will instead of our own. And then when we fulfill his will, he can trust us and he can give us all sorts of blessings so that we can serve him more effectively. So let's take a look here in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start a little bit before verse 39. Let's start in verse 28. The angel went to her. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." This is Luke 1, 29 now. "Mary, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great." And we sang all about that in those beautiful songs we all sang together. "And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end." That's what we have to look forward to, and we're already in the process of preparing for that time. Just like a baby that is not quite yet born yet, but we're in that process. So Mary asked, "How will this be? You know, since I'm a virgin, how am I going to give birth to a baby when I'm a virgin?" See, God does the impossible. And that's the beautiful thing. When we have a relationship with God, you will be shocked at the blessings that he can provide for you. And they're always going to be in your best interest. And it may not be what you want, but it's exactly what God knows you need. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine, because he wants you to live forever with him, fulfilling his will so that you can be blessed for eternity. He goes on to say in verse 35, "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age.'" You know, you don't find too many people in the age when they're 90s to have babies, or whenever they're past 40 or 50 or whatever. But this is what was happening, because God does the impossible. "And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, there's a reason why God chose Mary, because Mary believed. One of the scriptures that we share with people all the time, believe and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There's a lot more to that. We're going to hear more and more and more about that. And we'll see how Mary believed when we read the words in the song she created here to follow. But let's listen, first of all, to Elizabeth, because she was kind of her best bud. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Elizabeth says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And as soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And this is why we need to see how these two women reacted, because Elizabeth was filled with appreciation and high esteem for Mary. And God wants us to have that for others, most of all to God, as we know what we already mentioned. But he wants us to have that same high esteem for each other, because we need to see the divine gaze God has for every human being. Because how else can we help Jesus Christ or be a part of the bride of Christ who is going to convert the world when he comes back? And he takes Satan and gives him the boot and sends him off to prison for 1,000 years, as Revelation 5 tells very clearly. And so God wants us to have that divine perspective, that divine gaze. Now, before we go any further, I want you to see why David was a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 27, and notice that word gaze in this NIV translation, it starts off saying, "The Lord is my light," Psalm 27, verse 1, "and my salvation." This is David speaking and praising God, and this may have been a song as well that David made. He was a musician. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall." He had this faith. He knew that God was there. He knew that God was going to take care of him regardless of the circumstances. I mean, how else would you go out there and tackle Goliath when all you knew how to do is throw a stone out of a sling? "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Now, this is what I wanted us to notice. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze," that divine gaze that were the topic of the sermon here, "to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." God wants us to keep, the Apostle Paul says, to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, to have this spiritual perspective where we're always watching our head. We are his body. And he wants us to listen and pay close attention, be attuned to our head, because the body responds to the guidance of the head. And Jesus Christ is our head. He is the head of the church. Verse 5, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." What is that rock? Does that mean that's the cliff that's over at Deep Cliff Golf Course? Or is that Jesus? Jesus is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says that rock that followed them was Jesus Christ. And so we have been privileged to be set upon Jesus Christ as the foundation of our salvation. "Then my head will be exalted." Who is my head? This is David speaking way back 2,000 years ago in the Old Testament. He knew that Jesus Christ was his head. Somehow God revealed that to him, because he says, "Then my head will be exalted." My head is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. "Above the enemies who surround me, at his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord." So that may be a guitar, I don't know, but he's making music, maybe just singing, who knows. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me, because my heart says to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Because God wants us to keep our eyes focused, that divine gaze, keep it focused on Jesus Christ and help others to have that same perspective. Because when you really understand who Jesus is, you have the most important information anybody could ever have. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Because there are many who are in situations where they have been abandoned by their parents or mother or father or whatever. And here it is. It says, you've always got a dad to go to. Jesus Christ is our head. He's our daddy. The Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors, and do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. We see that happening all the time because Satan is out to attack the church when he couldn't get the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So he's coming after us. And that's why God says to pray, lead us not into sore trial, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one, Satan. That should be our regular daily prayer. And so he goes on to say, verse 13, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So it's so important for us to realize how Jesus Christ is integral and vital, and he is the foundation of our salvation. He is our Savior, our King, our Master, and our head. And we are his body. And so that divine perspective is so important to make sure that we have Jesus Christ as our focus. And when we look at others, that second part of the great commandment is to hold others in the highest esteem, not because of their perfection now, but because of the perfection God has in store for them, so that we can see people the way God sees them. God says he speaks about things that are not yet come to pass because he is going to bring it to pass. And when Christ is king over all the earth for 1,000 years and Satan and all of his demons are out of the picture, it's going to be a whole different world, don't you think? So we have a lot to praise God for and a lot to be thankful for. And when we are resurrected, we're going to be spirit beings with Jesus Christ when he returns, because how else are you going to rise up in the air to meet him? That's what Jesus did after his resurrection when he was spirit. And so now we're going to sing Mary's song, but I don't have the tune to sing for it, but I do know a song that I think all of you know that we can sing together. And it says some of the same things. Have you ever heard Jesus loves the little children? Let's just sing it together, okay? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And that's what we're going to see here, because here we're going to see Mary saying things that are just, it shows that the Holy Spirit had to be working in her life, because this is astounding what she's going to have to say. So let's dissect this and take a look at it and see what the scriptures have to say about what God inspired her to sing in praises to God. It says here, Mary said, my soul praises the Lord. Now that's important to understand, because there's two things that God wants us to do. Two very important things, because you can't fix yourself. You can't give yourself salvation. You can't straighten other people out. You can love them and ask God to do that. But our job is to do two things. One is worship God. That's the first and great commandment. And to love others as God loves them. Those are the two things. He wants us to worship him or to praise him. And that's what Mary is doing here. And to be thankful. Just realize everything you've got, it was a gift from God. And you might think, well, I work for that. You don't even know what you're talking about. You wouldn't have been able to work unless God kept your heart beating so you could go to work. Because he is the life. He is the bread of life. He's the source of everything that we have. And there is something inside of us that Mary's going to tell us in the next verse that is astounding, that she understood this, but God revealed these things. Notice what it says, "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She understood that there was a spirit in man. She must have read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Hold your finger here, and let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 and see what this says. And it says, "And the dust returns to the ground it came from," talking about your body, because your body is going to go back to the dust when you die, "and the spirit returns to God who gave it." There is a spirit in man that's recorded in the Old Testament, and Mary knew about that spirit. And she said, "My spirit," because your spirit is your identity, your true identity. Because when the resurrection comes and God gives you a spirit body, he's going to have your spirit that went back to God. It's a record of everything that you are, and God is going to purify that, because that's what he sent his son to do, is to cleanse us from all sin. And he's going to give you a perfect body and a perfect mind. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's where we're working toward. But at the resurrection, you will be given a perfect mind to go with that perfect body. We have a lot to rejoice about. And this is why Mary is praising God. "And my spirit rejoices in my Savior," because she understood that her true identity is in Jesus Christ, who she was going to be honored beyond comprehension to give birth to, which she says, "Well, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin," you know. But God does amazing things, and don't underestimate what God can do for you with whatever circumstance you might be facing. Now, as we go on through the rest of this Mary song, I want us to notice that how much she is talking about herself versus how much she's talking about God. Over 10 times she talks about God. Over 10 times. I circled it all the way through here. Every time she mentions he, or the mighty one, and his name, and he, because she's talking about God. God wants us to see our head, Jesus Christ, the way he really is, that he is astoundingly magnificent and fantastic. And we are honored and privileged to be joined together with him as his body. If you can even wrap your mind around that, it's enough to, as we've said many times before, melt your mind till it turns to soup and pours out your ears. You just can't even comprehend how magnificent this is. And she says, "For he," talking about Jesus Christ, or God, "has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Because that's what God is looking for. God is looking for humility. He saw that in Mary. And she said, "He has been mindful of the humble state." She realized how weak she is and how helpless that she is of herself. And she certainly isn't going to give birth to the Son of God just by thinking strong thoughts. That ain't going to work. Hold your finger here. Let's go to Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah 66 in verses 1 through 2, it says, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made everything that you see? So that they came into being, came the Lord." And now listen to this. "This is the one I esteem." If you want to know who God is, really holds in the highest respect, he'll tell you right here. "This is the one I esteem," or hold in the highest respect, "he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." When we have this high regard and respect for the word of God, who is Jesus, he is the bread of life, that he's the one that gives you your existence and your ability to continue your existence. And he is looking for one thing. He's looking for someone who is humble or teachable, that's willing to listen and is not going to say, "Well, I know what to do because I'm in charge here." And all. No, we need to be listening to our head. and asking Him to put His thoughts in our minds, His will in our lives. Because if we just do what we think is right, you can read that in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. That way, when you do what you think is right, that ends in death. That's not a good place to end up when you try to do your own thing. God wants us to do His will, and you'll have eternal life, now and forever. So let's go back and continue here in chapter 1 of Luke. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. But why is that? Because she understood about the bride of Christ, that the church would become the wife of Christ. We understand that. She may not have understood that quite yet, because that was going to come up on the day of Pentecost, and that was still another 30-some years to come. But all generations will call me blessed, because she was blessed for God to give favor to her when she hadn't done anything to deserve it. All she did is humble herself and say, God, whatever you want, I'm on board. And that's what we're going to see throughout this entire chapter, the rest of this song. For the Mighty One, verse 49, has done great things for me. Now, I'd like to just read briefly just one line out of each of the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Just one line, because God says, to him that overcomes, this is what I'm going to do. When you have Jesus Christ living in you, you are going to become an overcomer, because Jesus Christ is going to overcome through you sin. He's already done that. But hold your finger here and let's go to Revelation and see some things that if you have not thought of it in this context, you will be blown away. But here's what it says. The church of Ephesus in chapter 2 in verse 7, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Have you ever wondered what happened to that tree? He's going to give you the right to have access to the tree of life. I don't know how he's going to bring that all about, but only God knows. How about the church of Smyrna in chapter 2 and verse 11? He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. You don't have to worry about hell, you know, where people who refuse to repent, you won't even deal with the second death, because you're going to have eternal life after you die and your spirit returns to God and you're awaiting the resurrection. The second death will be irrelevant to you. That's good news. Let's take a look at chapter 2 and verse 17. To him that overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna, and I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. So you're going to have a new name, and you're going to have a white stone that your name is written on. Now, I don't know how that's all going to play out, because I don't have the fullness of God's understanding, but I'm just reading what it says. But this is what you can look forward to, that you'll have that hidden manna. That manna is the bread of life. There are things that Jesus Christ has said that he's going to give to you a deeper understanding of what the words Jesus Christ said. It's called a divine perspective, that divine gaze, to be able to see into what God's plan is, because the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. And you'll see things in the scriptures that most people can't see if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at the Thyatira church. Verse 26, to him that overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Most Christians have no clue about that. They have no idea that they will be given authority over the nations, because Christ is going to be king over all the earth. He's going to be in heaven, but heaven is wherever Jesus Christ is, and heaven's going to come to earth, because I saw New Jerusalem coming down. You know who New Jerusalem is? That's the church. You'll see that shortly. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And to him that overcomes, I will give authority over the nations. Chapter 3, the church of Sardis, in verse 5, says, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never erase his name from the book of life, and will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. And so, what a gift that you will be dressed in white. You know what that is. Revelation 19:7 says that righteousness is the fine linen of the saints. This It's talking about spiritual perfection that he's going to give to us as a gift by grace. Like we're in the grace building, this is a gift of God's grace for us to be here on Sunday morning. But he's going to give that grace to us, something we don't deserve, but out of gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness and worshiping God, when we let God know he is number one in our lives, he's going to give you everything. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these other things that the Gentiles seek, I'll just give them to you. Because you're going to be in charge of the world under Jesus Christ. Astounding. Then the church of Philadelphia, chapter 3 and verse 11, he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. In other words, you'll be a strong leader in the kingdom because he's going to give you all the power to do that. And he says, never again will he leave it. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. There you go. Which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And then let's take care, look at the Laodicea. They're supposed to be lax and lazy and stuff, but still, God loves them. Notice what it says in verse 21. To him that overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. If that is not astounding, well, how can we sit in the same throne as God? You have to have a divine perspective because it's kind of hard to sit in God's lap. But when you understand that he lives in us and that we are in him, we can occupy that throne with him by having him live in us and we are in him. And that's what the Apostle Paul is always telling us about. But think of all these gifts, these blessings that Mary's talking about here. Back to Luke chapter 1, where he says, for the mighty one has done great things for me. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And here we read in the book of Revelation the things he's going to be doing for us. And he's already in the process of preparing us for that. And then he says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And let's take a look at this because hold your finger here and I'd like you to read something that is very inspiring. But in the context of here of how he has performed mighty deeds with his arm, let's take a look at Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7. And this is what God has given to you already. And Psalm 34 and verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. The word fear means awe, where you just say, God, you're awesome, and I just want to worship you, and I want to obey you. I want to fulfill your will now and ever. The angel of the Lord encamps. You know, he's setting up camp around you. He's looking out for you when you're driving your car. I mean, I think of all the times when God has intervened for me, and I know an angel had to intervene. I could go on for hours telling you various miracles that God has performed, and his angel delivered me when I know flat out that it wasn't me. I mean, I was passing a truck, I think I mentioned this to you, in Kentucky on Highway 80, and I was passing this 18-wheeler going down a hill on a two-lane highway, but I thought I had plenty, but then somebody came out from a side street, and it was head-on collision, no way to avoid it, and all of a sudden I was in front of the truck. That didn't happen by me driving in front of the truck, I guarantee you. Just all of a sudden, I found myself in front of the truck. These are things that God says, his mercy extends to those who fear him. And think of the mighty things that God has done for me. And I've got plenty of stories to share, and you probably have plenty of stories to share with others so that they can begin to have a divine perspective and to see how God has been intervening in your life and help them to see how God is already intervening in their lives and working in their lives, because that's what Elizabeth was doing with Mary, saying, wow, you are so blessed. I'm just so amazed at what God is doing in your life. That's what God wants us to be doing with others, so that others can see a divine gaze, that perspective that God has and how he's working in your life and in the lives of those others who may not realize how God is working in their lives. In verse 54, he says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. Think of this mighty deed, in case you're wondering what mighty deeds did Jesus Christ do in the Old Testament? He opened the Red Sea and let these million or however many Israelites walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, that's not something that is minor, but there's something far more valuable that God has done for you than that, because that was a physical miracle. God has given you a spiritual miracle that makes that nothing in comparison, because that only enhanced their lives in this physical world. What God has done for you is He has opened the pathway to conversion for you, or you wouldn't be here. That is a miracle that is far transcending the opening of the Red Sea, because that opening of your mind to understand your salvation and giving you eternal life, God says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life, in the process of preparing you for an eternal body to go with it. These are the mighty deeds that Jesus Christ has performed with His arm for you personally. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts, because God can't use somebody that thinks they're the cat's pajamas. He wants individuals who realize He's the one that's wearing the pajamas. And that, because it keeps saying, His, He has performed it. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts, because He can't use them. But He loves them, but He can't use them until they are willing to humble themselves. And when you humble yourself, then God can begin to use you, and He'll grant you salvation and conversion and so forth. And you even need to ask God to grant you the humility. If you're struggling with that, that's a guaranteed answered prayer, when you ask God to help you to become more humble, because that's what He's looking for. That is His will. So you don't have to wonder whether He's going to answer that prayer. Just ask God to be merciful in the process. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. Hold your finger here. Let's take a look at another scripture that is mind-boggling, that most people haven't got a clue about, is 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And listen to this. It says, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it up before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Wow, that's interesting. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Most people don't know that. Many Christians don't know that. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Because we have a divine gaze. It's God's perspective, not ours. It's God's perspective. Do you not know that you will judge angels? How many people know that? That's astounding. But when we're spirit beings and we have God's perfection and we have a spirit body to go with it, and we're going to be the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is our head in the kingdom and reigning over the entire earth, as He said in Revelation 20 verse 5, He says, do you not know that we will judge angels? We don't need to know other than the fact that this is what the scriptures say. Now, I don't think the good angels need to be judged, but there are some angels that need judgment. I wonder who they are. They're the ones that are giving you all the trouble right now. But we'll leave that up to God. But God must have revealed this to the Apostle Paul, or otherwise why would He have written it? It's just a little peek into the future. And God will make it clear what He's talking about when that time comes. How much more are the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, and so on. All right, let's move on to Luke chapter 1 and verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 1:26, because God says, not many mighty after the flesh are called, not many noble. But God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those that are wise. Who are the weak things? Guess who that is? You and me, because we realize how weak we are. Most of the people in the world think, I'm strong and I can take care of myself. No, you can't take care of it. You can survive maybe, but you're destined for death, because it's appointed unto all men once to die. We don't have to worry about death, because death is opening the door to eternal life. It's a whole different ballgame when you understand the divine perspective. It's phenomenal. He has filled the hungry with good things. I mean, you can't ask anything better than that. He's giving this to individuals who realize how wonderful God's grace is. Grace is when you receive something that you don't deserve. We don't deserve eternal life, but God's giving it to us, and we need to worship him and to praise him and thank him profusely. And he has sent the rich away empty because money is not going to give you eternal life. He, again, number 10, has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants. And you can read that in Galatians 3:29. I'll let you read that on your own, but that basically is just saying, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. If Christ is in you, you become a child of Abraham. It's a spiritual, divine perspective that most people don't realize. And you can come from Africa or China or Australia, it doesn't make any difference, because that doesn't matter to God. If Christ is in you, you become a true Israelite spiritually. Now that's what she's talking about. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants, and we are his descendants in Christ forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. But we have been blessed, and during this Christmas season, as we are giving gifts and things of this nature, let's remember the gifts that God has given to us and to share those gifts with others so that they can begin to have a taste, even if you just sow the seed, of how God has been blessing you beyond your wildest dreams. You don't have to go into minute detail. Just ask God to bless the seed that you sow in somebody's mind about how God has been good to you. And when you do that, God says he'll take care of the rest. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so very much for being the best friend we could have ever asked for. We worship you. We adore you. We want to be with you forever. We want to keep our eyes fixed on your Son, because you want us to do that. And he's got his eyes fixed on you, and you have your eyes fixed on him and us, and the Holy Spirit is doing it all behind the scenes. And God, we just praise you for everything that you're doing. And we just ask you to continue to do the wonderful work you are doing and keep opening our eyes to see more clearly how we can glorify you in everything we do. To you be all the glory, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.